You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie's senior producer, Jamie Martinson. Maggie's taking a couple of days off. She'll be back again on Wednesday. But in the meantime, we've put together some of the best moments from The Maggie Dawn Show. Over the next few minutes, you'll hear from former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn.
What is up, everybody? My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, folks, the hits, they just keep on coming every day. A new dumpster fire or fires, as it may be, from the Trump administration. I'm going to get to all of that this hour. The freeze on funding as issued by the Office of Management and Budget. The firing of assistant U.S. attorneys that worked on the Trump prosecutions. The internal investigations in the Department of Justice. You want to know what a witch hunt is? Now we've got one. But before we get to all of that, I am very privileged and humbled to be joined by former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn. You know him. You've seen him on the J6 committee testifying with fortitude of both strength and courage in the face of the MAGAverse, I guess, would be a way to put it. And now speaking out both against the January 6th pardons that Donald Trump provided, shocking even some conservatives, but also speaking out against those current candidates for elected office, like Judge Brad Schimel here in the state of Wisconsin, who refused to acknowledge what actually went down on January 6th, what we witnessed with our own eyes, but what Officer Dunn himself experienced that day. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Harry. It's a real pleasure.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here with you. Hey, listeners, how y'all doing?
I hope they're doing well, and we're going to be made smarter and more engaged by you being here with all of us today, Harry.
Yeah.
What brought you to Milwaukee and Madison today? You were in Milwaukee earlier. You just left the Capitol Rotunda. Yeah. Why were you here?
The cheese curds.
Oh, damn straight.
Of course not.
Little custard and cheese curds for sure, my friend.
No, listen, you know, this is my fourth time here in the States. Seems like every time something happens in Wisconsin or there's an election of any kind, it always makes
it's
national news.
Yeah.
It's always happening here. I believe in public service. I believe in standing up and speaking out against what happened on January 6th, demanding accountability for not just the people who attacked officers, but the people responsible for it. It's unfortunate. We don't get that anymore. We don't get accountability. Especially now that Donald Trump has pardoned the over 1,500 individuals, many of whom violently assaulted law enforcement officers in the most brutal way. Why am I in Wisconsin? I believe that anybody that speaks of January 6th any other way than it was a attack on our democracy, it was the attack on law enforcement. If you don't speak on it any other way, I feel like it's my job to push back against you and tell you what it was. Especially when that person happens to be seeking office.
Yes.
And it's public office of the people. And like you just said, the Judge Schimel, he had the opportunity to forcefully condemn Donald Trump's pardons of these rioters, even the ones that brutally assaulted police officers. It appears he is attempting to play both sides.
Yes.
Saying that if you assaulted police officers, then you need to be in jail, but also saying he supports Donald Trump's decision to pardon them. You can't play both sides on this. And this isn't about politics. I couldn't tell you Judge Simmel's stance on any other issue except January 6th and where he stands on the pardons. And it's personal to me. I was there. My coworkers were beaten. Four died of suicide afterwards.
Yes.
And the moral injuries just continue to pile on and pile up. And this was another one. So anytime I have an opportunity to push back, I will.
I respect that so much, and I'm appreciative for your clarity on this. This is a moral injury on top of the physical injuries and the psychological damage that those who assaulted police on that day committed. It is a moral ongoing injury that we all suffer as Wisconsinites and Americans. One of the things that bothers me about Judge Schimmel's stance on this, the talking out of his both sides of the mouth, is that Judge Schimmel used to serve as this state's highest enforcement officer and had the audacity to give out honor coins to people with the saying, kicking butt every day. Oh, well, except if you assault police officers in the name of Donald Trump. Yeah. That is not how KAED works.
It's not. And it's, like I said, that's really, like I said, it's unfortunate. And then, I don't know the exact number, you know, but the polling on the pardoning of these, it was polling at 80% people not approve or opposed to this. So taking a stance to saying this is wrong, period, full stop, shouldn't be hard. Now, if he can't make that easy decision, then how is he going to serve in the Supreme Court and represent the people of Wisconsin's best interest if he can't even acknowledge the fact that the pardoning of those individuals was wrong?
The most fundamental, when I think about both law enforcement and judicial officers, and I have served as one in public service, you have served as one in public service, the test of someone that works in this capacity is not whether we investigate and prosecute the little guys. People want to talk about two tiers. I'll tell you what the two tiers are. Little guys and people that don't have connections and you know, pull and money, and those that do. The test is always not can we go after little guys. The test is what do we do when it is the powerful. Yeah. The powerful whom we may politically be more inclined to support. That is where rubber meets the road for law enforcement and folks that work in government in these capacities. Harry, I want to ask you a question because we were talking a little bit before we got on air here. I got just a flood of text messages last night when news of the firing of these frontline career civil servant law enforcement prosecutors in the federal government were fired. I didn't sleep well. I haven't been sleeping well. How are you sleeping, sir?
Not well.
Yeah.
Not well, not long.
What keeps you up? Like what conjures up in your mind as we both, I think, you know, are trying to sleep?
I think it's the Celsius energy drinks that keep me awake.
Those are delicious. They are not a sponsor, but
they're
call
not
me.
A sponsor. Yeah, no, but what keeps me up is they're attempting and succeeding at rewriting what happened that day, and that goes to the firing of the AUSAs. These people aren't, they want, like, look, even before that happened, even before Donald Trump assumed office on the 20th, they were trying to suppress the Jack Smith report from being released. Right. So they're doing everything they can to erase what happened on January 6th. Not just erase it, but rewrite it with their own narrative by creating these investigations to investigate the investigators. Now, these people are career civil servants.
And prosecutors.
That's
they
it.
Are law enforcement professionals.
They are law enforcement professionals. And going after them, let's be clear. Like, look this up. Anybody that wants to call BS on this, I believe that the Merrick Garland's Justice Department prosecuted more prominent Democrats than they did. They prosecuted Hunter Biden.
Yes.
Like, I mean, they
had a special counsel investigate
Joe Biden
over documents
Correct.
That he retained allegedly after he was vice president.
While he is the sitting president.
Correct.
So Biden's DOJ
investigated the president.
It's crazy. Let's be clear. Like, these individuals, they're attempting and succeeding to rewrite this. And that's what gives me this motivation to keep going. It's personal to me.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I appreciate everybody that says I'm making a difference. You know what? I received that. I thank you. I don't care if I was talking to a wall.
Right.
Or one person, but I am going to continue speaking out. And I'm glad that it appears to be making a difference. But this is a travesty. And we can't let them get away with it. And everybody would say they are getting away with it. They are. there's an election here in April. There's governor races all across the country in 2025.
Yes.
There are midterms in 2026. And yes, there's a presidential election in 2028. And we can't focus on Donald Trump has won. We have to figure out how can we win the next one.
Yes.
And that's it starts now, not the day before the election.
As I watch what I'm just going to call mealy-mouthed, message-managed mumbo-jumbo from Democrats and news outlets alike, all I can say is someone who has served on the front line in 2020 doing this work, thank you for speaking truth. I, too, would be standing next to you shouting at the wall because if we're shouting the truth and trying to engage with the truth, I think that does speak to a different kind of moral clarity.
Yeah.
This is what we witnessed. Let us bear witness together. Let us listen to folks like yourself, Harry, that can bear witness to that. What is different now? We've been speaking about the firing of the AUSAs. To me, you take the firings plus the pardons, and what you have given permission to is something that is very scary in this country. What do you think the combined implications of these events are? Do you think that this is a green light to, frankly, roving mobs of people to do whatever they damn please as long as it serves Donald Trump?
Yes. Simply put, yes. Well, think about, they went to the Capitol on January 6th. They stormed the Capitol. They assaulted officers. They were emboldened to do so because Donald Trump told them to. Donald Trump told them to do this. Donald Trump pardoned them after they did that. And you know what? What's to say? They're emboldened now.
Yes.
Stand back and stand by. He meant that. He meant it. He literally has them on standby for whenever he would need them. And that's the kind of message that it sends. Also, the Senate, the House of Representatives, and this is why it's everybody's job. We have to send people to Congress. They're supposed to be checks and balances in government. The House and the Senate and the executive branch. We have to make sure we're electing the people that will stand up and push back against that. And not that they will go to Congress a la Ron Johnson and go to the Senate to serve the people of Wisconsin and not be a servant to Donald Trump.
Right.
You are responsible for the people of Wisconsin.
All of them.
All of them. Not just the ones who voted for Donald Trump, but everybody.
We got to take care of a tiny bit of business. I know I want to hear more from Harry. Specifically, I'm going to ask him how we tell going forward the difference between rhetoric and reality and what comes next. Stay tuned. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Remember, you can watch the talk as well on Civic Media's YouTube channel, also at Maggie Dawn Show on Twitter, Insta, Facebook. And if you want to see my professional side, you can check me out on LinkedIn. You can find me there, Margaret Dawn. You know what my mom calls me when I'm deep. In deep, deep doo-doo. I have got a very, very special guest, former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn. He was there on January 6th. He is here today in Wisconsin, first in Milwaukee this morning, secondly in Madison this afternoon, talking about the literal whitewashing of January 6th, the lies that are being told on repeat over and over again, as if this was some sort of peaceful, patriotic love-in. It wasn't. Police officers were attacked. Some have died. Harry was there. We now have a Supreme Court candidate in the form of Judge Brad Schimel, who can't seem to find the words to condemn people who violently attack police officers, who himself is engaging in the whitewashing of January 6th, who throws around words like lawfare, prosecuting people and investigating people who have committed crimes is not lawfare. And crimes were committed on January 6th, Harry. What I wanted to ask you, which I think is so important for us moving forward, I heard so many times, as you did, during the period leading up to this past November's election, from conservatives and liberals alike, that what Donald Trump was saying was rhetoric. This is just puffery. This is him pounding his chest. He's not really going to do this. I don't really need to read Project 2025 because he's not, oh, there's guardrails. Everything that he said that we thought was, quote, or that some claimed was rhetoric is becoming reality. Whether it's an enemies list, retribution, trying to assume the powers of a dictator on day one, all of those things are in action. What do you say, Harry, to people who continue to, I don't know, drink the Kool-Aid on its rhetoric, not reality?
Well, first of all, I don't have a message for them. Mm. My message, I mean, screw them. Can I say that?
Yes, you can.
You know, my message is to the people who had apathy this election that said,
the 6 million who sat home.
I'm going to sit this one out. The people that are shocked now that he's doing what he said he was going to do. I got called the minute that Donald Trump signed that pardon. My phone was blowing up reporters. Yes. What's your reaction? And I got really frustrated by them asking me that question because it's the same thing I've been saying for 4 years. This isn't something new. This isn't a new event, a new unfolding in the Donald Trump saga. He said he was going to do this. My outrage, obviously, yes, towards Donald Trump, but towards the people who are shocked. How are you shocked? If you're shocked, you weren't paying attention. You didn't do your research. Those are the people that I'm trying to talk to now. Those are the people that you reach. Sitting out this election is one of the most irresponsible things that anybody could have done. And you know, everybody says, every election, we always say, oh, this is the most
important. Yeah.
But this couldn't be, that couldn't be more true. I mean, like you mentioned Project 2025. Every executive order that he has done now.
Written by Project 2025, yes.
And that's not my opinion. That's, you literally go look, read Project 25 and then read that. It's the exact same thing and it's problematic.
Problematic to say the least. One of the things that I have become exhausted by is what I'm going to call NIMBY metastasized. Because I am white, upper middle class, a man, hetero, in a marriage, none of my kids, I don't think, are LGBTQIA. I don't know any immigrants, except it doesn't affect me, so I don't need to care and screw everybody who might fall into one of those categories. What do you say to people who think this doesn't touch me because I voted for Trump? I'm not any one of these different groups of people.
Well, not even just them. I'm glad that you mentioned that because there's so many people on the Democratic side that are saying, you know what? You know what? They voted for this. I'm going to sit. Whatever. Good luck. I can't have that mentality. There are so many people who did not vote for this that are going to be affected. Here in Wisconsin, there are people in Pennsylvania, all these swing states that he ended up winning, or the states that he won, those blue dots in red states. I know there's so many of y'all. They didn't vote for this. So do they not deserve fighters that are going to continue to fight for them? They deserve it. So it's so important that you can't have this, well, you know what? You get what you voted for. 70+ million people did not vote for this, and millions of people are going to be affected who did not want this. And
including conservatives and those who did vote for them. I think people are fooling themselves when they sit back and say, I'm upper middle class, white male, I don't fit any of these kids, I don't got nothing to worry about. Yes, you do. He is coming for you too. It is not an if, it is a but when.
Isn't one of the most satisfying things at times saying "I told you so"?
Hell, like, yes. When, it is.
If you're in a relationship, like your significant other, you know, your husband, your wife, girlfriend,
told you so.
And "I told you so" is so satisfying. I'm not looking for an "I told you so" moment. This is real people's lives that are at stake right now, and we have to stay vigilant. We have to stay on message. Not even message. We have to push back against their lies, their rhetoric, and show them rhetoric versus reality. Show them their rhetoric is not reality.
Yes. Folks, that is former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn joining me, Maggie Dawn, on The Maggie Dawn Show. You can find Harry on Blue Sky. Screw that thing that used to be called Twitter. His handle on Blue Sky is at Libra, L-I-B-R-A, Dunn, D-U-N-N, 1. Check him out. Check me out. I'm also on Blue Sky at Maggie Dawn Show. Harry, you hit on something that I'm going to ask you your last thoughts, and we're going to close out this segment. When I first got on the radio, my show was called Dawn of the Resistance, a little pun on my last name. What is your call to action to people now? I think you've been touching on it. Speak up, speak out, speak truth to power, talk to people. What message do you want to give to Wisconsinites as you leave these airwaves? What is your call to action?
Well, let's be clear. I'm new to this activism. Yes. I'm new to this.
You're doing just fine.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm new to it. I was a police officer for almost 16 years. I had an opportunity. I had a responsibility to speak out against what happened to me, and it vaulted me to this where we are now. Don't wait until the election. Don't wait till election day. Don't wait till day after election to become outraged. Find out what your candidate stands for. Find out where you can vote, and find out why you're voting for against that person.
Thank you so much, former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie's senior producer, Jamie Martinson. Maggie's enjoying a few days off. She'll be back again, though, on Wednesday. In the meantime, we've put together some of the best moments of The Maggie Dawn Show. Over the next few minutes, Maggie's going to ask you to examine your whys.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome. If you are just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I come to you every day across our talk radio network from 2 to 4 p.m. You can also find all my old episodes on Spotify and Apple Pods and at Civic Media's website. Today, we're talking about your whys. Why do you care? Whatever your political bend may be, why do you care? And assuming that you do care, how do you keep your energy up? And for me specifically, how do I keep my energy up? How do we keep our energy up to continue to be resilient and to resist? And I wanted to share with you today the sermon that was given by the Right Reverend Mary Ann Buddy, an evangelical reverend who heads the D.C. Church of the she leads the D.C. Church, the National Cathedral. And so at the National Cathedral, the day after Donald Trump's inauguration, they had a church service. Donald Trump and his whole family and J.D. Vance, they were all there. The Episcopal Church, thank you, Mr. Zommers, helping me out there, my producer today. And when I watched her sermon from that day, it brought me to tears again and again. And in the same time, it gave me so much inspiration, so much hope. Because what this very small woman in a shaky voice did in America's National Cathedral was she spoke truth to power. Power that was sitting mere feet from her. And she had no real authority other than the fact that she happened to be the head of the Episcopal's National Cathedral, in which this ceremony is had every year. But her authority in that moment, her power, despite her small frame and her shaky voice, her power came from saying the things that she knew to be true. or at least giving it her best gosh darn effort. And in interviews afterwards, Bishop and Reverend Buddy referenced the American theologian Howard Thurman as her inspiration. He wrote of the sound of the genuine, that when you speak and you give voice to what is true and real, it resonates with authority that you, the individual, may not have. It resonates with power. It is impactful beyond what you, the individual, may be able to impact. And so her endeavor that afternoon was to touch upon fundamental principles, the basic values that she hoped we all agree upon. And in those words, I found inspiration. I heard my why reaffirmed, expressed differently in this woman's shaky voice. And it also wasn't lost on me that she spoke from the Canterbury pulpit itself, said to have been brought to England by William the Conqueror and used in the Canterbury Cathedral itself. It is where Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. gave his final Sunday sermon mere days before he was assassinated. And its central carving on the Canterbury pulpit is the signing of the Magna Carta, an 809-year-old charter that established that the King of England was not above the law. So I wanted to share with each and every one of you today some of the words that Bishop Reverend Mary Ann Buddy spoke at the National Cathedral on January 21st this year. So, Aaron, let's get started, shall we? We're going to go through cut five to begin and then cut six right away. Here, the bishop is addressing what unity is and what it means in America. Let's take a listen.
As a country, we have gathered this morning to pray for unity as a people and a nation. Not for agreement, political or otherwise, but for the kind of unity that fosters community across diversity and division, a unity that serves the common good. It is not conformity. It is not victory. It is not polite weariness or passivity born of exhaustion. Unity is not partisan. Rather, unity is a way of being with one another, that it encompasses and respects our differences, that teaches us to hold multiple perspectives and life experiences as valid and worthy of respect, that enables us in our communities and in the halls of power to genuinely care for one another, even when we disagree.
That is the voice of Right Reverend Bishop Mary Ann Buddy speaking to and addressing President Donald Trump the day after his inauguration from the Canterbury Pulpit in the National Cathedral. She continued, she pointed out the importance of not just saying the right things, but doing the right things.
And Jesus went out of his way to welcome those whom his society deemed as outcasts. Now, I grant you that unity in this broad, expansive sense it's aspirational. And it's a lot to pray for. It's a big ask of our God, worthy of the best of who we are and who we can be. But there isn't much to be gained by our prayers if we act in ways that further deepen the divisions among us. Our scriptures are quite clear about this, that God is never impressed with prayers when actions are not informed by them. Nor does God spare us from the consequences of our deeds, which always, in the end, matter more than the words we pray.
Powerful words. Again, from a small woman with a shaky voice. And she addressed contempt and how it destabilizes our country, our unity, and frankly runs against the most basic tenets of Christianity.
Cut nine, Aaron.
Because the culture of contempt that has become normalized in this country threatens to destroy us. We are all bombarded daily with messages from what sociologists now call the outrage industrial complex. Some of that driven by external forces whose interests are furthered by a polarized America. Contempt fuels political campaigns and social media, and many profit from that. But it's a worrisome, it's a dangerous way to lead a country.
Again, folks, that's the voice of Reverend Marianne Budde addressing Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, the Trump family, and the nation on January 21st. At this point, she then pivots to the real core of her sermon that day about the basics of human dignity, about what it means to fight for human dignity, and the what she calls the three foundations of America's unity. Aaron?
Unity in this country is possible. Not perfectly, for we are imperfect people and an imperfect union. But sufficient enough to keep us all believing in and working to realize the ideals of the United States of America. Ideals expressed in the Declaration of Independence with its assertion of innate human equality and dignity.
And so she goes on to lay out the three foundations of unity, of American unity, which also, incidentally, are core pillars of Christianity, which our current president claims to be. Let's listen to Foundation One of unity.
Let me suggest that there are at least three. The first foundation for unity is honoring the inherent dignity of every human being.
Yes. The dignity of every human being. So what does dignity require?
Honoring each other's dignity means refusing to mock or discount or demonize those with whom we differ, choosing instead to respectfully debate our differences, and whenever possible, to seek common ground. And if common ground is not possible, dignity demands that we remain true to our convictions without contempt for those who hold convictions of their own.
Bishop Budde then went on to explain the second foundation of unity and Christianity.
Second foundation for unity is honesty in both private conversation and public discourse. If we're not willing to be honest, there's no use in praying for unity because our actions work against the prayers themselves. We might, for a time, experience a false sense of unity among some, but not the sturdier, broader unity that we need to address the challenges that we face.
So, as Bishop Budde is explaining, the foundation of unity in this country, in fact, deeply held Christian values, require first an acknowledgement of the innate dignity of every human being, and secondly, a commitment to honesty. But honesty is not always easy.
We don't always know where the truth lies, and there's a lot working against the truth now. But when we do know, when we know what is true, it's incumbent upon us to speak the truth, even when, especially when, it costs us.
Not the profiteering of contempt and hate, but to speak the truth, especially and even when it costs us. Third and finally, Bishop Budde tells us the foundation of our American unity, of this American project in democracy, and of course, a core tenet of Christianity, is humility.
And the third and last foundation I'll mention today is foundation for unity is humility, which we all need because we are all fallible human beings. We make mistakes. We say and do things that we later regret. We have our blind spots and our biases, and perhaps we are most dangerous to ourselves and others when we are persuaded without a doubt that we are absolutely right and someone else is absolutely wrong. Because then we are just a few steps from labeling ourselves as the good people versus the bad people. And the truth is that we're all people. We're both capable of good and bad.
So, the foundation, the third foundation of this American unity project, a value of Christianity, is humility. The acknowledgement that we may not be right, that we may in fact be biased and have blind spots. And Bishop Buddy tells us more what humility requires.
And the more we realize this, the more room we have within ourselves for humility and openness to one another across our differences, because in fact we are more like one another than we realize, and we need each other.
We need each other. Folks, if you're just joining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. We're listening to the words of Reverend Marianne Buddy just a couple of weeks ago on January 21st, addressing Donald Trump, our president, J.D. Vance, our vice president, and the entire Vance and Trump families, and indeed the nation, calling for a return to American unity rooted in the acknowledgement that all human beings deserve dignity, that we must commit, secondly, to tell the truth, to be honest, even when costly. And thirdly, that we must approach this project with humility, because we are all, indeed, fallible. When we come back after these brief messages, she tells us what's at stake and makes a final plea to our president. We're taking some inspiration from the words of Bishop Marianne Buddy today. Please keep it locked. Come back with me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome, if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This first hour of the show, I'm talking with each and every one of you about how we maintain our energy, our engagement, the very will to resist some of Donald Trump's worst impulses. And even if you are a Trump supporter, why do we care about these things? Why don't we just tune it all out? Right? There's so many things that can grab our attention now. But if you're listening, my guess is you probably do care very much about the future of our country, the future of your kids. And you may have some very particular views about what and how we should do these things and accomplish these next goals or face these challenges. And I've brought to you today to share with you my three whys, why I care, why I'm engaged, which are: I can't stand bullies. Secondly, I've always wanted to tell the truth, to speak it as best I can, to tell the truth to power. And thirdly, and finally, I've always wanted to make things work better, be more effective, more efficient. And as I've gotten older, I've tried to do these things with increasing levels of humility. We all think we know it when we're young. Turns out we don't. And I've, in the second half of this first hour, turned to the words of Bishop Marianne Buddy, who spoke to the nation, but very specifically spoke to our president, Donald Trump, from the Canterbury pulpit the day after Donald Trump was elected president. Sworn in on January 21st. And she said that our American project requires unity, not agreement on everything. That's not possible, but unity. And she further said that this idea of American unity requires three things: the acknowledgement of the dignity of every human being. Secondly, a commitment, even when personally costly, to tell the truth. And thirdly, the humility to understand that we're all fallible, that we may get it wrong. She spoke mere feet from Donald Trump and addressed him very specifically. And towards the end of her sermon on January 21st, she told us what is at stake if we fail in this American project, in this need for unity in our country.
It's a lot harder to realize when we're dealing with real differences in our private lives and in the public arena. But without unity, we're building our nation's house on sand.
So the bishop is telling us, if we cannot find our way to observe and pay fidelity to these three foundations of the American project, and frankly, the foundations of Christianity, these foundations that include acknowledgement of the dignity of every human, the fearlessness to tell the truth, even when costly, and thirdly, again, the humility to be open to other people's ideas and that we may be wrong, our nation will indeed fall. But what she said last, she addressed directly at President Trump. She made one final plea.
Let me make one final plea, Mr. President. Millions have put their trust in you. And as you told the nation yesterday, you have felt the providential hand of a loving God. In the name of our God, I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meat packing plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here. Our God teaches us that we are to be merciful to the stranger, for we were all once strangers in this land.
The words of Bishop Marianne Budde addressing Donald Trump specifically, a plea for mercy. And in her closing words, she reminds us what our American project requires.
May God grant us the strength and courage to honor the dignity of every human being, to speak the truth to one another in love, and walk humbly with each other and our God for the good of all people in this nation and the world. Amen.
That is strength. That is power, because it is true, not because of who she is or the money in her bank account, but because she spoke the truth. So in these times that are so challenging for all of us, I ask you to find your whys, to reengage with the values that you hold dear, and find a way to mercy. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. When we come back, an interview with State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe. Keep it locked.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.